Okay, let's begin. Let's begin now. Rabbi said, let's begin. Okay, I want to talk about the topic over here. Yaakov Avinu, this week's parasha comes. Vayifka b'mokon, vayolen b'layla ha'hu. Yaakov Avinu, the story you all know is he travels, he leaves the home of his parents in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, and he travels to Choron, to Aram Naharaim, to Bavel. It's a long trip. He had kfitz aderech, and he reached his destination. Okay, again, this is after 14 years of first stopping off to learn in the Beis Medrash of Shem the Eder. And then he reaches his destination, and then he says to himself, I did something very foolish. I passed by the Kosel HaMaravi. I don't say that. I passed by Har HaMaria, the place where my father, my grandfather, where they davened, where they made a mizbeach, where the Akedah took place. I passed by Mekoymos HaKedoshim. And I made a mistake. I foolishly made a mistake. I did not stop there to daven. What a mistake. Charata. You know what? Let me go back. So before he proceeds to find the zivuk, he goes back. And he is a miracle. Kefitzas haderech backwards, it seems. And now he finds himself by Har HaMaria. And the sun sets. And he goes to sleep. And before he goes to sleep, he davens. He davens tefilas ma'arif. And then he wakes up the next day and he makes a neder and he sees the dream, the sulamutz of Arzav, and he makes a neder, if Hashem will be with me, will guard me, will provide my needs, I will make this mokoyim into the base Elohim. Chazal learned from this pasuk, Yaakov Avinu was misaken, established tefilas ma'ariv, or arvis, not chickpeas, but arvis, arbit.
Arbit.
Okay, arvis. Tefilas ma'ariv. What we call Ashkenazim, we call it tefilas ma'ariv. He established the tefillah of ma'ariv at this location, at this time when he went for his zivuk. Okay, so we have now three tefillahs. Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv. Shachris was established by Avraham. When? When did he establish? By Yashkin Boke, by Sidom. When Avraham was misfell for the Anshei Sidom. Yitzhak was established by Yitzhak. By Yitzhak lo suach basode. And Yaakov was misakin tefillahs Ma'ariv. So we all are very well aware that there are three tefillos every day. These are the three tefillos, and they correspond to Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Shachris is Avraham, Mincha is Yitzhak, and Ma'ariv is Yaakov. And then we have another dimension. Another dimension is, why do we daven three tefillos a day? They correspond to the Korbanos. There is the Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Harboyim, and then the Imurim, the fats and the limbs of the Tamid Shel Shach and Tamid Shel Ben Harboim, and for that matter, other korbanos as well, can burn, and they should burn the entire night. If they have not yet been burnt, if they are not yet consumed by the fire of the Mizbeach, by the end of the day, then they are permitted, and they must continue to burn on the Mizbeach the entire night. So Shachar is Tamid Shel Shachar, Mincha is Tamid Shel Ben Harboim, Ma'ariv is Keneged, the leftovers, the fats and the limbs that have not yet been consumed, they continue to burn on the Mizbeach. That corresponds to Tfilas Ma'ariv. Okay, so we have two different dimensions. Everyone knows this. Everyone knows, I've heard this 100 times, two different dimensions as to why we dive into three tefillos. One is connected to the Ovos, one is connected to the Korbanos. Now we also have a rule that Shachris is a Choiva. A person has no choice. A person must dive in Ma'ariv whether he likes it or not. Shachris, you must have in Shachris, whether you like it or not, is an obligation. Mincha is an obligation, you have no choice. But Ma'ariv, now don't get confused, of course, we know that Me'ikar Hadin, back in the day, at the time of the Anshei Knesses HaGedoyla, were only Mesakein Tfilas Ma'ariv as a Rishus. It was not an obligation. There was no full-fledged obligation to daven Ma'ariv. If you want to daven, daven. If you don't want to daven, don't daven. It's filas rishus. Some explain that's why there is no chazoras hashatz for its filas ma'ariv. Mm-hmm. Because only a rishus. Some explain that originally the Taka did not daven the Shemona Esrei. Instead, they would say, when we say, Baruch Hashem li'olam, amen v'amen, we have after Marv, hopefully everyone here says it. Don't not such a good idea to skip it. For some reason, many people Eretz Yisrael. So we're not living Eretz Yisrael. We're not living. I'm not getting into this. Not none of my business. Okay, but there is a Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen. Where did that come from? I don't know the details, but one of the main reasons, because it used to be that they would not daven Shmoyne Esrei. You don't just take, to the Oymel of Ne'amelech is not so posh of a thing. Person walks into the palace, you don't just walk into Hashem's chamber whenever you want. You have to be deserving, you have to be on an uplifted level, you have to know for sure you're able to concentrate. It's not so posh of daven Shmoyne Esrei. Daven Shmoyne Esrei, you Oymel of Ne'amelech. Esther said to Mordechai, "What, you think I could just walk in to the king whenever I want? When the king calls me, I go. The king doesn't call me, I'm not allowed to go. I'm chayiv misa. If the king doesn't make an exception and extend his scepter, I'm dead. So I will just go to Hashem whenever you want. Who says Hashem wants to speak to you? Tilas Marv is not an obligation. Hashem never told us to go to speak to him. It's a reshus. We're just going to go on our own and go and daven Shmoneh Esrei. Who says that we are deserving? Who says that Hashem is not good? Who Hashem will extend his scepter to us? If he will not extend it, then, it's disrespectful to walk into Hashem's private chamber uninvited. So who says we should daven Shmoneh Esrei? So indeed, it used to be in ancient times, not everyone felt worthy to daven Shmoneh Esrei. But on the other hand, it's not such a bad idea. So they made a compromise. They collected psukim, which have in total 18 names. Hashem's name appears exactly in the Pesukim, Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen. Hashem's name appears 18 times. And when you say those Pesukim, it's Ki'ilu, you're saying Shemoyne Esrei, and you don't have to worry with the Daiga that you are appearing disrespectfully before Hashem. Hashem never told you to come. So you don't have to worry that Hashem will extend his scepter in order to save our life. And you say these psukim, which has Hashem's name 18 times, and it's ki'ilu, you said a Shemoyne Esrei with insurance, life insurance.
You're afraid of davening in the field.
That's another reason why we say Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen, the late comers. But today, no one comes late. No one comes late today. So today, if no one comes late today, that's why they don't say Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, right? Because in the play, all the shuls, they don't say it, they skip it. Because no one comes late in those shuls, right? No one comes late, so there's no need to say it. Okay, so they can walk home safely when davening is over. So that's one of the reasons why we say Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, in order to focus on the 18 times that you say Hashem's. It wouldn't be so bad to actually concentrate on Hashem's name every time. I once davened after I was in Ovel, so I davened, and I was willing to go very slow. I have no problem going very, very slow. But the people, you know the audience is brutal, and faster, like a whip, faster. So Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen is the first carbon that goes. Okay, that's the first part of davening that you just zip it up, because I don't know, they don't say it. And there was a person there, I remember when our davening said to me, he said to me, "What a chutzpah, you said Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, that section of the Ma'ariv, impossible to say it." That the city is 100% right. It is impossible. And it says Hashem's name 18 times. First I've ever heard of this. It says Hashem's name 18 times. You don't just gobble up Hashem's name 18 times in the speed that you were going davening Marv. My joke. I got went viral, my joke. This I got the only fame I have in the whole world. This joke is by the Sima Shas Shablazer. He has a chazakah for the last, I think, 3 or 4 Sima Shasi Davin's Maiv. Blazer Ginsburg. And Blazer Ginsburg knows how to put on a good show. V'hu Rachum. And he Davin's Maiv with such a... And he screams
the
Maiv.
The stadium could hear without the microphone.
Without the microphone. He puts on a show, unbelievable. I'm not gonna show you. This is his thing. I'm not saying he's a wonderful person. You gotta get to know him. He's a whole different person. He speaks in our Yitzhak alive. And he's hilarious when you get to know him and understand what he's everything he says. Don't take everything he says seriously. Okay, but you gotta get to know him. So by joke, at that time, see my shots, there was a joke going around that the day after the Sima Shas, a person was driving, was sitting on the highway, got a ticket, and the cop said, "I'm giving you a ticket because did you learn today's page?" You know, he says, "You know, I was working there last night at MetLife. I was there. I was working. I was on duty. I was so impressed. Let me ask you, sir, did you learn today's page? If you learn today's page, I'll let you go. So yes, I didn't learn this, but you promise you'll learn it today. You won't forget the cop. Okay, no tickets. No ticket as long as you promise to not speed anymore and to learn today's page." That was a joke going around. So I had a supplement to that joke, and the supplement was that after Sima Shas, Reb Lazer was driving home. He was driving home from the Sima Shas in MetLife, even though he doesn't drive. But he was driving home, he was cruising home on the way home from Sima Shas, and all of a sudden, the lights behind him, he was pulled over by a cop, and the cop pulls and says, "Reb Lazer, I'm giving you a ticket for speeding. You know, Reb Lazer, I worked at the Sima Shas tonight, and I worked at the Sima Shas 7 years ago. 7 years ago, your Ma'ariv took 27 minutes. Tonight, it only took 23. You're getting a ticket for speeding. Speeding during Ma'ariv." It was a good joke back in the day. Maybe not funny now. Any of that. Yeah, you say Hashem's name 18 times. Baruch Hashem, we'll live for it. This is connected to Shemoneh Esrei. Because why? Shemoneh Esrei is a reshus. It's a reshus. They did not necessarily, if it's only a reshus, you have to be a Baal Madrega to say the Shemoneh Esrei. Not everyone is in that level. Like we gave an analogy to Esther Hamalka. You can't just go into the king's private chamber, the Chutz HaPnimis, whenever you want. If you go in there, you're risking your life, unless the king extends the scepter. The davening ma'ariv is the zel besach, it's sakonis nefasha. So that requires, that idea is a true idea, when the person has to concentrate. You have to concentrate even more when you daven ma'ariv, more than when you daven shachris u'minuch. The shachris u'minuch, you've been summoned. You've been summoned by the king. So if you're not concentrating, listen, what do you want from me? The king told me to show up. I have to be here. I'm not in danger. I was instructed to come. But Ma'ariv, no one told you to come. So if you came into the Chutz HaPnimis, the law is Chayav Misa, unless the king extends his scepter to you. So you have to be, it has to be, show the Melech an Eitz Rasson. You learn from this concept, this fact, it's only a Rishus, that there's an obligation to have more Kavana by Ma'ariv than by Shachris and Mincha. That's what comes out. Now here's another question. That's one Yisoid. Yisoid number two. Question, why is it indeed true that Tfilas Ma'ariv is a reshus? So the answer you'll say is because, what are you going to answer? The answer is because primarily, even though we mentioned that there are two different reasons why we daven Ma'ariv, by daven the Tfilas, that connected the Karbonos, and connected the Avon Yitzchak Yaakov, the Ikor reason why we daven is connected Karbonos. Uneshalma forin sefaseinu. Therefore, Shachris is the Tamid Shol Shachar, we must bring the Tamid Shol Shachar. Mincha is Tamid Shol Ben Harboyim, we must bring Tamid Shol Ben Harboyim. Ma'ariv, if you burn, you consume all of the fats and the limbs of the Karbonos before Tzeisach Rechavim, you're done. Nothing has to be done. There's no obligation whatsoever for there to be anything burning on the surface of the Mizbeach after you finish the Tamid Shol Ben Harboyim. Now I know there was such a custom that it was a hiddur to keep the Mizbeach occupied the entire night, so people offered Oiloi Suriya, but Me'ikar Hadin, there is no need for anything to be burning on the Mizbeach after you offer the Tamid Shol Ben Harboyim. If there's an Eish Ben HaShamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his satisfaction, he consumes all of the korbanos with the Eish Ben HaShamayim in record time, and there's nothing left that needs to be burned, nothing left that needs to burn. Memela, you know, there's nothing that has to be burning on the Mizbeach at night. It's only in a situation where it has not yet been fully consumed, and it needs to be consumed. So we let it burn at night also. It's a b'diavad, it burns at night also. So therefore, since it doesn't have to happen, Ma'ariv corresponds to the Emurim, the Fodom that we burn Balayla, and that's a Rishus. Menela Tzilas Ma'ariv is also a Rishus. Okay, very good. Wonderful. That we can appreciate. But the question is, but that's not the only reason why we daven Ma'ariv. We daven Ma'ariv also because of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu in this week's Parsha, Vayifka Ba'amokim, established Ma'ariv. So we daven Ma'ariv for another reason, Vayifka Ba'amokim. So that's the same way Abraham established Shachris with Sodom, and Yitzhak established Yitzhak Losuach Ba'asodeh, and Yaakov was Vayifka Ba'amokim. That's not a Rishos. That's a Choyva. That's a Choyva. So what happened? What happened to that? What happened to Tzilas Ma'ariv? So there are many answers to this question. There are different answers. One answer is that Yaakov only davened Ma'ariv there as an afterthought. And there are three answers to this question. The answer that I like the best is the third answer. The first answer is Yaakov only davened Ma'ariv there as an afterthought. In other words, says the Perush Rashi, Yaakov had no plan to daven Ma'ariv. Yaakov was traveling from Eretz Canaan to Choron, and he reached his destination. He was successful. The plane landed. He arrived. Here he is at the airport. Gets on the airport. And says, "Oi, I have charoto. I really, when I was passing by Har Maria, I should have pressed the eject button and parachuted down to Har Hamoria and davened, and then hitched a flight back to Choron. I have charoto." A miracle of miracles. He closed his eyes and here he is. Hashem took him back miraculously to Har Hamoria. Yaakov didn't plan to go there lechatchil. He only ended up there as an afterthought. That's not how you daven. Davening is not an afterthought. Davening is a lechatchila. Lechatchila, you want to go daven. This is what I want to do. I want to do this. So everything in this parasha is an afterthought. You notice that the whole parasha, everything is like a b'di'evet. Yaakov only ended up in the Har Maria as that's not what I wanted. I really wanted to go to Choron. I reached Choron. I made a mistake. I should have really gone back. There he is. Yaakov, Lavan says to Yaakov, "I don't want to give you my daughter in marriage. You're not who I want. I want a doctor, a lawyer. I don't want you. I don't want a guy in Koilo, sits on a bench. No way. Toy, but you know what? Shirch crisis. Toy titi oisoloch mititi oisolo ishacher. You're only b'di'evet to me." Yaakov ends up marrying Leah. That's not who I wanted to marry. I wanted to marry Rachel. The sheep, the hichlevis maskuti aseris moinen. Every time he got his paycheck, it's not what he wanted to give you. Everything in the parish is all is a mistake. Everything is a mistake. Every step of the way in the parish, it's all like, it's not what he wanted. It should have been the other way around. We'll switch this, we'll switch that. He goes to his wives, tells his wives, I want to get out of here. Yaakov thought that his wives really wanted to stay. Yaakov thought that his wives wanted to stay home. So he has to take them out into the Sodet to convince them. And they said, no, we really do want to go with you. We do want to go. We're nochrios. What is this whole thing? He takes his daughters to the Sodeh and has a conversation. Who's the man of the house? Yaakov should walk in and say, "I'm fed up with this Lavan. Good riddance, we're going. Wife, pack up, we're going." You have a consultation with your wife in a secret hiding place to negotiate. Maybe, will you consider going with me, leaving your father's house? And they shock him. Of course we're going with you. Everything in this parasha from beginning to end is a misunderstanding or a b'di'evet. From beginning to end, one thing after another, with the children, Yisachar, it's all, nothing is glat. That Dina really was supposed to be this one's child, and they switched in order that my sister should have not be worse than the Bnei Shvachis, and even the Shvachis were switched. Everything is not the way you think, not the way it's supposed to be, a consistent pattern of behavior in Parashas Vayetzeh from beginning to end. Okay, that was a cycle. But going back to our discussion, Yaakov Avinu never really planted Daven Ma'ariv. It's only an afterthought, so therefore that does not make Ma'ariv into a choiva. The makor for a tzvila cannot be a situation where a person only Daven Ma'ariv as an afterthought. You want to find a root to Daven Ma'ariv, Shachris. Avraham Avinu went out to battle. Vayavim Avinu said, I'm going to Daven. L'chatchila, that's how we're going to save Sodom. When Sodom was destroyed, he went back, Nochem al to Daven. On the next day, Yitzchak, Vayetze Yitzchak L'suach Basodeh. My father needs a Shidduch. How am I going to find my father a Shidduch? I'm going to go Daven. L'chatchila, l'chatchila. To establish a tefillah that's only an afterthought, that cannot possibly be a choiva, it's only a reshus. That's answer number one. Answer number two. Yaakov, when he came back, L'cha'ora, he came back and he davened Ma'ariv before this man. That's the name of the Farshim. Yes. He came back before. He davened before. He davened Ma'ariv before the sun set. How can you establish a Ma'ariv, which is part of Kriyashma, with Soymech Ge'ula Litzila, and the ultimate Ge'ula should be Laila? Mincha is already covered. Mincha we got already with Yitzchak. So now you want to tefillah at night.
Well, that's the origin
of davening early. That's the makar when you can daven early, right? You can daven together.
He held like
Rabbi Yehuda. He held like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, you want to say that Rabbi Yehuda? Then you can daven plag mincha is already called zman lechatchila. Zman mincha is over.
Shemesh means that the sun settled completely. And the simon is when you have tzeisak efavim or cheshev, absence of the sunlight or daylight.
Rabbi Dr. Colonel Cohen, it is such a pleasure to hear your voice. Welcome. You're in Pennsylvania now?
I'm in, yes.
Okay.
I'm in.
Welcome. I hear okay, so this is a discussion. Everyone is saying correctly. This is a dilemma. When exactly did he daven Ma'ariv? Did he hold like it is correct? But if you learn, but l'chora, if it would be laila mamish, it would be l'chol hades. If it would have been after tzeisak rechavim mamish, then it would have been l'chol hades. It would have been good. Therefore, because there's a whole question, it's exactly when he daven, it cannot be a makor for Ma'ariv. When Yaakov Avinu l'chora did not even daven in the correct time, l'halacha l'mais, then there would be a l'chatchila. According to all opinions. So you can't go tack it down to Yaakov Avinu because it's not a perfect match, because the Zmanin do not work out. That's answer number two. Answer number three is the best. And answer number three comes from another question. Answer a question with a question. The question is again, why isn't Ma'ariv a choiva if we learn from Yaakov Avinu? So let's answer the question with another question. Chana. We learn from Chana many, many halachos of the tzura of tefillah. We learn that Shmona Esher is done silently, that she lips were moving, but what sound was not heard by other people. Chana also, this is a question for Shmona Chana, when she davened b'koyvei drosh. Let me find the exact words to bring out this very interesting, fascinating point. Chana, and she davened. That we do learn. But same way we learn from Medeiros Aliba, there was another element in her tefillah that was unique. And that Chana was very bitter when she davened. Okay, let me find it 1 second over here. It says over here, I'll read you the whole thing word for word. The Iyun Yaakov, Brachos Chavav. This is a fascinating insight. This is the Iyun Yaakov. Who wrote the Iyun Yaakov? The whole story, who wrote the Iyun Yaakov? I forgot who's the Machab, who's only very famous. Right, so who's it's a very famous, the Machab is a famous person. Whole story behind it. I don't remember this moment. Shetzorech lehistol, don't learn, it says, Vihim moras nefesh. Don't learn from this pasuk shetzorich lehispalel bechoyved roish. I don't know the nuances of this, but he's saying that the word should be very big, moras nefesh. Maybe we should learn from Chana that when a person davens to Hashem, he has to put himself in a state of intense seriousness, in a certain degree of intensity. Let's not focus on the details. Don't confuse me with the facts. Lefi shahoyo liba mar aleha, because she was in a very bitter situation. Okay, so in other words, not every detail of Chana's tefila is a source lahalacha, because Chana was suffering more than the average person. The average person does not experience this intensity.
Yet we follow her with the Amida by standing.
And we follow her.
The Mispalel was Mishtachat or Mispalel.
Correct. In ancient times, they would pray when they were flying horizontal.
Mishtachat bar.
Right. Horizontal. She was standing. And her lips
standing.
And no
she
sound.
It's
not
she
audible.
Broke.
Correct. But there's another element. If you want to go learn from Chana, there are other things to learn from Chana. And that is, okay, I don't know exactly what type of, how this differs exactly in the proper words to express it, but she was in a state of moras nefesh, which would translate for us that when we daven, we would have to be in a very intense frame of mind. And that is not a requirement. When you daven Shemona Esrei, you speak freely to Hashem, you don't have to be, that's not with an intensity. And the answer why we do not learn from Chana is because Chana was suffering. And when a person suffers, that's not an example. A person who is in a state of suffering is not an example for other people. Yaakov Avinu, when he davened, he was a fugitive. He was in a state of suffering. He was running away from his brother Esau. Eliphaz supposedly had already at that point already came and stole from him every penny. Ani Choshev Kemeis. He was a fugitive. His life was on the run. That's not an example, a dogma for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, in every state of their existence, every person in their existence, midav and marav, their entire life, they're not always running from the authorities. They're not always afraid for their life. That's not an example. Okay, there are times, Noidim Be'ez Sarah. Look, it says the whole thing, he made a neder, Be'ez Sarah. Yaakov Avinu was in a matziv of terrible Sarah. And that's why he davened. That is not a dogma for the average person to daven every day of his life. Just like the Ilun Yaakov says that every single element of Chana's tefila is not a dogma for all of us, because Chana was in a very unique, difficult situation. Yaakov similarly was in a very difficult matzav, and not every element, his whole tefila in essence, is not a dogma for us. So therefore, this cannot be a makor for the average person to daven every single night of his life. Mark, Yaakov, Aaron was not in danger. Stone was in danger, he davened for them. Yitzchak wasn't in danger, he davened by Yetzir Yitzchak L'Suach Basada. But Yaakov was in a matzav of sakana. That's not a dogma for a person to daven marv every single night, because he's not always in sakana every single night. So therefore we have three reasons why marv is not a rishus. My marv is only a rishus. Even if you go and you take the approach that it comes from the karbonos, certainly it's going to be a rishus, because the karbonos at night is connected to the emurim, the pedum and the emurim, and the burning of the fats and limbs. That is only a rishus. That is not an obligation. But when it comes to my rib, but if you're going to go take the approach, so we're going to compare from the karbonos, from the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yaakov l'chora is a chayva. Three reasons why Yaakov is not a perfect example to make Marv into a chayva. Number one, because Yaakov Avinu only daven Marv as an afterthought. Number two, Yaakov Avinu did not daven in the proper zman Marv. And number three, Yaakov Avinu was in an ace sora, running away from his brother. That's not a dogma for the average person who is not in a sorrow. Just like we don't learn everything out from Chana, we don't learn out everything from Yaakov Avinu. Okay, that is one part I wanted to discuss. Now let's go to another idea. Yes.
When we always, it sounds like we always accept that Shachar is coming to the Meir. Is that the Nusach? I mean, is that what they were davening? With Shachar's?
No. Definitely not. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah who made the Nusach. Absolutely not. It means they connected. They checked in. They just checked in. They check in with Hashem.
Why do we give it those names?
The time of the day. Shachar means the early morning. Mincha means the afternoon. The mincha means the afternoon. And Maariv means Erev means the evening. Those terms, Shachar, Mincha, Maariv, have nothing to do. It just means the time of the day. The time of the day. You're checking with Hashem in the morning. You're checking in the afternoon. You're checking in the evening, like a parent has a child. And child goes on a trip, and the parent says to the kid, you better call me. You call me three times a day. You call me in the morning, call me in the afternoon. I want to make sure you're okay. I want to make sure you calm me down because I'm worried about you. You check in. You check in with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, people, they've done a study a couple of years ago. They watched per people. People who have smartphones, they've studied this. This is years ago. Today, I have no doubt in my mind that it's double. At least double, maybe even triple, maybe quadruple. And they've studied people, and they've noticed the average person checks his smartphone 100 times a day. Mayor, how many times do you look at your smartphone a day?
No, the question is, how many times does he not look at his
smartphone? I'm talking about, you check, you can play with it for here for now, and you put it down. How many times after your master, you have a headset, you check back?
I don't think it's awesome to make
a headset. Awesome, okay. You're right. Today we're holding. I'm telling you, I am utterly shocked. I know on WhatsApp, if you don't turn off the setting, you can tell the person saw your message. Right? One check means it was sent. Two checks means the phone, they got it. When the demo, those two checks turn blue, it means they saw it. Right? Everyone knows that. In WhatsApp. You don't know that?
No, I don't know.
One check means you said they didn't get it yet. Their phone is off or their phone is not working. Two checks means their phone got it.
Oh,
When you see the two checks turn blue, it means they saw it. Oh. Now, people don't like that. They find that to be an invasion of privacy. I don't want you to know that I saw your message, so you can turn off that. But the vast majority of the people keep it on. There's a whole ethical dilemma. You won't give a whole PhD on writing the psychology of should you turn off that setting. Is it a chutzpah to turn off the setting? Is it not a chutzpah?
I'm going
to
do it right now.
Why is it a good thing to do? It's not necessarily a good thing to do. It's a certain... The ethical, the moral dilemma of turning off the setting off, of preventing the blue lines appearing. It's a very interesting dilemma. A lot of professionals grapple with it. It's a very interesting. So I am thoroughly amazed at both sides and how many times I send a WhatsApp message and kimat instantly the people, the blue lines appear. Which basically means these people, they're mamish sitting the whole day looking at the phone. I'm embarrassed to look at my message because that means I've nothing to do with myself and I'm looking at my phone. So you're a busy person, you have a life to live. How often do you look at your phone? Look at the phone 3 times a day. You go in every second, you send a message, it's right away, blue lines. That means you have no other life. You have nothing to do. So the whole day you're looking at your phone.
What else is there to do during cold though? That's cool.
They said the average person looks at phone 100 times a day. That's what it said on the news on the second survivor.
Used to be.
Today, by now, it's up to at least 300. But it used to be 100. Right away, what does that trigger? Chazal. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shel Neimach Ki Liyira Oisai. Al Tikre Mo Elonea. Make 100 brachos a day. Check in with Hashem 100 times a day. Check
what
in.
What was the actual text? What was their text?
We don't know what their text is. We have no idea. Whatever they said, they checked in. They checked in with Hashem. Chazal came along and they formulated a standard text for us. Okay, now next topic. Next topic is... Everybody's the next topic. Next topic is...
Did Yitzchak daven mincha before HaKedah?
The Yitzchak David, no, it says it does not. Did not. Vayetze Yitzchak l'suchah, so it was after.
Yeah.
Was after the Akeda. Let's go further.
So that means you don't have to
the truth is, though, there are really two. There's another passage by Avraham Avinu where he davened again. The Torah says there were people who davened. There used to be people who davened mincha twice. They davened mincha gedoyla, and at the end of the day, why? Why would you daven mincha twice? One is kineged Avraham. Avraham, in addition to establishing shakras, according to some opinions, he also established mincha, and Yitzchak established mincha. So there are two minchas. There's a mincha of Avraham Avinu and there's a mincha of Yitzchak. So it used to be the Torah cites this. There were people who daven mincha twice a day. It's not mi'ila, it's mincha. You daven mincha twice. An early mincha and a later mincha, one can get Avraham, one can get Yitzchak. Okay, let's go down to the next topic, Ma'ariv. Is there an inyan to daven Ma'ariv as early as possible? Now, that's... And that's the problem. Now,
at the end of the day or the beginning of the next day.
Okay, no. That's serious. What do you mean? Okay, is there any doubt about
the Ma'ariv considered the
Shulchan Aruch
previous day?
Now, before we get to Ma'ariv, let's talk about Kriya Shema. There's a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema Shachris and a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema Arvis. Is there a mitzvah, before we come to Ma'ariv, because Ma'ariv really goes together with Kriya Shema. Chazal established Ma'ariv should be recited together with Kriya Shema, so it's hard really to break up the two. In Shulchan Aruch, it's very interesting that when it comes to Kriya Shema Shal Shacharis, the Mechaber, it's based on the Rambam, everything most of the Mechaber from the Rambam says, you should daven, say Kriya Shema Shal Shacharis as early as possible. The words are, the Ezehu Zemana, the Yoim, these words of the Rambam, mitzvosa, the mitzvah of saying Kriya Shema by day, sheyaschil mitzvosa, sheyaschil likrois koidem honetzacham. The ideal time to begin to say Kriya Shema is right before sunrise, so that when you finish Kriya Shema and you finish the bracha of Goal Yisrael, it should be the moment of sunrise. Akadei kach. What's so interesting is that the Mechaber and the Mishnah Berurah, they make it sound like there is such an opinion that if you miss saying Kriya Shema before Alois HaShachar, don't even bother. You lost out. You totally, it's like the Zman is over. Halacha l'mayis, we pass that the Zman is not over until 3 hours into the day. That's only like a b'di'evet. V'chatchilo, the Zman is saying Kriya Shema before sunrise. What about Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? Uveshachducha, when you go to sleep, when is it the Zman to go to sleep? When the three medium stars come out. Yet, in the Rambam makes no mention that you should run to daven Ma'ariv as early as possible. He says, this is mitzvasa, the mitzvah is mishas yitzias ha'vichavim. So, when you contrast the way the Rambam describes the earliest man for Ma'ariv and the earliest man for Shacharis, it's notable, the earliest man for Shacharis, sheyaschil. He is the word, ve'ezer zman b'yom, mitzvasa, the mitzvah is, sheyaschil, you should begin likrois to recite it, koidem honetzacham. But by Ma'ariv he writes, ve'ezer zman kriya shma balayla, mitzvasa, mishas, yitzias hakechoven. Why doesn't the Rambam be consistent and say, mitzvasa, sheyaschel likrois, mishas, yitzias hakechoven? Why doesn't the Rambam use the same terminology for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis as he uses for Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis? So this is a very tough question. Why doesn't he do this? I don't even know if we have a good full answer. It's a very tough question, and this obviously this ties in to Ma'ariv, because we know that we say Kriya Shema with Sonech Geula Tzvila, and the Geula includes the Brachos Kriya Shema. Alright, but the basic gist of the issues involved, this is the gist of the issues, is there's something called Zrizim Makdimim L'mitzvahs. Okay, this question that we're dealing with touches upon a big sugya, beautiful sugya of Zerizim Makdimim the Mitzvahs. There's a Chakira in the Achroim. What is the essence of this concept of Zerizus? We know by a Bris Mila. By a Bris Mila, there's a principle, Zerizim Makdimim the Mitzvahs. Do it as early as possible. We learn from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is Vayashkem Avraham Baboicher. Vayachavoish es chamoiroi. From there we learn, we learn Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzas. When we learn, let's go to a Bris Mila. Is the din of Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzas a chelik of the mitzvah itself? I'll try to give you a nafkamina. We'll try to give you a nafkamina soon when it comes to Ma'ariv. Or is Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzas like icing on the cake? This is a mitzvah. It's a hiddur in the mitzvah, but it's not a chelik of the mitzvah itself. You know, you have a delicious pie. So would you like the pie with icing on the top or not? So if you would not know that there's a possibility to have this pie with icing, I wouldn't ask for it. It's delicious the way it is. You want to enhance it by putting some icing on top and put a cherry on top? Very nice. Or is Zrizim Makdimim Lemitzvos a chelik of the ingredients of the pie? It's the sugar, it's the flour, it's the texture, it's the fabric of the pie itself. That's the chakira. So this machlekes hapoiskim, and this goes back all the way to the Rishonim and how they define, they describe the mitzvah of zrizim akdimim lemitzvos. L'may nafimina, what be nafimina? Why would a person not want to do a bris mila early in the morning? What's the reason why you would not do a bris mila in the morning? Because if you do Buroivam, okay, that's what you want to wait. That's what you would want to wait. But there's another element.
Ava?
No. There's another element. Okay, what Ava? What Ava?
The going should know. What...
Should know about it. That's why you would not do it early. That's an exceptional case.
Was a story with Shaitan.
Okay, that's why you would not want to. But there's another very interesting element which. Then there is, if you're going to say what we're about to say, it changes everything. There's a reason holding you back from wanting to do the bris mila 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't want my child to suffer. I have rachmanis on my child.
You're going to save a couple of
hours? I have rachmanis on my child, and the rachmanis on my child tells me, Let the child enjoy some more time before he suffers. Think I'm making this up? Let me read you what it says over here. Mikol Makam, let me find the words. But my Hachnos Lebrisa, I don't want, because it's natural for a parent to have Rachmanis upon his child. So Zerizim Akdimim Lemitzvos is coming to take, to prevent you from that Rachmanus, which would prevent you from doing it later. Now, I'll read you the words in a moment, but L'may Nafkamina, let's say you have a mitzvah, that there's nothing holding you back. There's nothing holding you back from doing this. Let's say, for example, Pidyon HaBen. This is a very big dilemma. And then, am I ready? Afkahanel. I learned by him for a nice a very nice relationship with him. So he had a certain chidush of lahalacha. He had a lot of interesting chidush of lahalacha, and one of them was he held with the tekivos that is a din of zrizin. He's a very poysek zrizin makdim lemitzvos by opinion aben. Now pukhazi mama advar, we don't do that. Now the reason why we don't do it is because of loy plug, we're not going to go into the sugya of pidyon aben. There are many, many times that you cannot make a pidyon aben until the afternoon because of when the baby is born. The baby has 30 days plus 29 hours. There's a din of days and there's a din in actual time. So there are unique situations where you just cannot lahalocha. It's not a valid pidyon. It's a bracha levatola and the child will never be redeemed. So therefore, it has become the custom.
So
and
it's not redeemed?
The baby's not redeemed. You do the baby, redeem the baby before the zman is not redeemed.
But after, no problem.
After, of course, there's no limit. You can redeem the baby until he dies. Until a person dies. But if you redeem the baby too early, then it's not valid. It's a bracha levatal. The child is not redeemed. He may not even know about it. And that only happens in exceptional cases. However, it became the custom of loipug. And there are different degrees. There are different degrees of loy. There are different examples of different degrees of loipug. Since there can be a situation where the baby is not allowed to be redeemed until the late afternoon, so it's become the custom, almost, and it's almost very, very common, that every single pinyan aben, you do it in the late afternoon, in order to save those people who would be ignorant and would be nichshol in this. Okay, but let's say you're not from that category of people that are going to adhere to the principle of loipug, and you're going to redeem the baby. If the baby's ready to go, it's ready to go. The baby can be redeemed even at night. Let's do it. Zrizim magdimim lemitzvahs. Is there a din of zrizim magdimim lemitzvahs when it comes to pinyan aben? No, not necessarily. You know why? Because if you learn that the din zrizim magdimim lemitzvahs is only in the case where there's a problem, and zrizim magdim comes to take away that problem. What is the problem? What's the problem? Akedas Yitzchak. What's the makom of Zrizim Magdim LeMitzvos? Vayashkein Avraham Baboiker. Why was there a need for Zrizim Magdim LeMitzvos? Because there's a constant battle. I don't want to give away my child. I don't want to take away his life. Chayesha. Every life of Yitzchak is valuable. I don't want to give away my child. Every moment that I delay, I'm going to have more and more Rachmanis upon my child, and I'm not going to slaughter him. To overcome the chemla that a father has for a child, zrizim magdimim lemitzvos. If you want to apply zrizim magdimim lemitzvos, you better have a good reason to apply it. Mm-hmm. The bris mila, the chemla that the parents have, not the tzara diyanuka, that zrizim magdimim lemitzvos. But pinyan aben, there's no pain to the child. Well, I'm giving away $5. I'm giving the money. That is not a significant. Equals in you not doing the mitzvah. So therefore, you got a whole day to do the mitzvah. You don't have to go do it right away. You want to have the pinyan aben at 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock, lunch. You want to go do it 6 o'clock in the morning? My rabbi of Kahana, he held that you should do pinyan aben 6 o'clock in the morning. Mamash, the earliest moment possible. He don't like this approach. Zrizim magdimim with mitzvahs according to these malachims and ikov. Now, let's go to my, or that's one malach. Or no, maybe you'll tell me, Zrizim magdimim lemitzvos applies to every single mitzvah. It's a general thing. A person should be a zoris. Mitzvah habo liyotcha. Al tachmitzena. You have an opportunity, do it right away. Lamai nafkamina. The nafkamina will be, and you really can argue this both ways, is it intrinsic to the mitzvah or is it just icing on the cake? If you learn that Zrizim Magdim LeMitzvos is because when there's an ikuf, it's an ikuf. There's an ikuf. I have a child. I have rachmanis upon the child. So we need now to take Zrizim Magdim LeMitzvos and to counteract your personal pain, akeda, bris mila. I'll give you another example in a moment, nafkamina. Then we need to counteract it with Zrizim Magdim LeMitzvos. That does not then make Zrizim Magdim LeMitzvos an integral part of the mitzvah. It's only in unique situations. But if you learn Zrizim Magdim LeMitzvos as an extension of mitzvah habol liyotcha al tach mitzena, you do right away, this is part of the fabric of the mitzvah. It's the fabric of the mitzvah. It's not unique to bris milah. It's not unique to a mitzvah where there's an ikuv. It applies to every mitzvah. It applies to pinyan aben, where it applies to lulav and esher. Lulav and esher. Is there a din to wake up 6 o'clock in the morning and shake the lulav and esher? Is there such a zrizim magdim lemitzvos? You don't see people doing that. There are people that do that. I'm not telling you not. But the hamoina, they dive at 9 o'clock until they finally get around to lulav and esher. It's already, whatever, 10 o'clock, up to halu, whatever it is. Oh, zrizim magdim lemitzvos. It would be scandalous to have a bris meal at 10 o'clock in the morning on a weekday.
That's because you want to try and put the lulav and esher with the challah. There's a whole inyan.
You're giving excuses. You're right. But it would be scandalous today during the weekday to have a bris, having a bris at 10 o'clock. Right. Take off from work. Anyway, no one works. So come 10 o'clock to the Bris Milah. Scandalous! 4 o'clock. Scandalous! No. Don't you know you get shot at? Zrizim Magdinin Lemitzvois. 6 o'clock. Well, you can't do 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock. But not later than that.
Not in Eretz Yisrael.
Well, then that's because of the moil is not available.
No, many, they no. Have a whole thing. They have a whole thing of Roy Bam. I just know it.
It's a chiddush, tremendous chiddush.
When I heard it, I also heard
tremendous chiddush. I'm not aware that. I think I have to be minded that's really true. It's because there are certain celebrity moralism in Eretz Yisrael. Who says just because they do it? Just because they do, who says it's right? Also, the many people they want a specific moil on Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem is a group, and they want. There are other considerations, but there's a principle called Zrizim Akdinim Lemitz. You get shot. How dare you make a bris milah past 7 o'clock? Zrizim Akdinim Lemitz is the chiluk of the mitzvah.
Zrizim today at 2 o'clock.
But you know, one talks about Zrizim Akdinim Lemitz when it comes to Luvan Esrog. What's the chiluk? The chiluk is because the baby, because if you delay. We don't know to appreciate it, but many mothers are traumatized. Many mothers are traumatized to let their baby go through this medical procedure. So you need Zrizim Akdinim to counteract that. But when it comes to other mitzvahs, he doesn't to counteract. Or no, maybe some reason Magdinim Lemitzvahs is integral to every single mitzvah. Lemai Nafimina Ma'ariv. Lemai Nafimina. Coming to the end of the Rambam. Rambam says when it comes to Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis, the Zman is Yaschil. Misha Yaschil Koydim Honetzachama. Ma'ariv, he doesn't use the word Yaskil. Ma'ariv, the Rambam says, Ma'ariv, Tzei Shas, Tzei Sakechoven. What's the chiluk? There's no din, Zrizim Akdinim L'mitzvois, by Ma'ariv. But by Shacharis, there is. You know why? Because when a person is sleeping, if he doesn't get up, you're going to sleep through the whole Zman. There's something to counteract. You are in a state.
You have a deadline.
You are in a state. You have a deadline. You're in a state. You are in a state. No, everything has a deadline. But you are a person sleeping. He is the state of menucha. It is painful to wake up when you're tired. Menela, we have to activate zrizim adinim lemitzos to counteract a force that is going against you. Ma'ariv, you have nothing that's going against you. It's now Tzei Sakechoven. What's the rush? I'll dive Ma'ariv in an hour, in 2 hours, 3 hours. There's a good tzach, you know, a mitzvah oliyot ha'otach mitzvah. You know, just don't dilly down. But Zrizim Akdinim Lemitzvos is the principle now, immediately. You only do something immediately, according to some of the Rishonim, is when there is a force against you. With the makar, no, you're not going. Some people they stay up the whole night. They can't fall asleep. It appears that going to sleep, you should not go to sleep. Not everyone agrees. You should not go to sleep. You should not even eat because eating will put you to sleep. So you know what? I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to go to sleep. I'm going to stay up and I'll daven ma'ariv in 3 hours, in 4 hours, whenever I want to go down, I'll daven ma'ariv.
What do you have to say about bedikas chametz then?
Bedikas chametz. Is there a din
to do it right away?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this is a big sugya. But for right now, we're trying to bring at least one point. What we're doing is saying there's something called Zrizim Magdinim Lemitzvos. This machlokes in the Achrayim, may trace back to the Mishnayim. Is Zrizim is an integral part of the mitzvah, or is it icing on the cake? If you want to say that it's what is Zrizim Magdinim, that we want to be toilet, this machlokes is Zrizim Magdinim Lemitzvos only in certain mitzvahs, or does it apply to every single mitzvah? Some of the Rishonim say it only applies to unique set of mitzvahs, mitzvahs which there is a force of pain in the opposite direction, like the Akedah where we learn it from, like Bris Milah, and you have to have other examples. But when there's no force going against you, then it's a good tzach to do quickly, but there's not an emergency. Zrizim Akdinim Lemitzvos is an emergency. And then if it applies to every mitzvah, then it's an integral part of the mitzvah. L'may nafkemina, this would answer the Stephen and the Rambam, which is filtered its way to the Shulchan Aruch, of is there a din of zrizim adinim l'mitzvahs for ma'ariv? So for shachris there is, for ma'ariv there is not. Why? If you learn that in shachris there's a din of zrizim adinim l'mitzvahs, because you're sleeping, you got to get out of that delicious state of menucha, because if you remain in that state, so then taka there's zrizim adinim l'mitzvahs. But if you learn ma'ariv, there's no din zrizim adinim l'mitzvahs. It doesn't apply to every single mitzvah. Then the Rambam says that the Zman begins, the Zman is Tzeis HaKachavim. He makes no mention that you should do it as early as possible. There's no mention of that in the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch. This is the Zman. Do it whenever you want to do it. Don't, but by the way, until you do it, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to go to sleep. There's no emergency, because there's no force coming up against you to hold you back. Bris Mila. It says here, you're not going to want to go do the Bris Mila. You won't have Rachmanis. Your Rachmanis upon your child, don't do that. Who says this? The Me'iri says this. The Me'iri says those words. The reason why there's Zrizim Agdinim L'Shach and Chiddush, no, we never had the Me'iri until recent times. There's Zrizim only by Bris Mila, because there's a force against you. But the Yisoid of the Me'iri answers the stira of Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis and Kriya Shema Shel Aris, which ties into Ma'ariv. Okay, there's a lot more about this. Maybe we'll do more tomorrow, or maybe we won't.